Chapter 8. We are going to look at verses 1 to 11. Romans 8, 1 to 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragements that you hold out here as you make clear in these verses the way that we have been made righteous in Christ. Oh Lord, would you please help us as we look at these things? There are some complicated verses here, but would you help us to rejoice in what you have shown us? Help us to rejoice that you are a God who pardons us through the work of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Even as we read through those verses, I imagine the connection to what we were looking at in Psalm 34 was pretty clear, I hope. In Psalm 34, 22, this morning, we were looking at that verse. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. We start with chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I love the way that Romans, particularly this section in Romans 8, explains the mechanics behind Psalm 34. None of those who take refuge in you will be condemned. Well, why not? I mean, we still have sinned. We still deserve God's judgment. You know, David gives just a little bit more in Psalm 34. He says, well, you know, it has to do with redemption. It's something that God is doing. But how would God do that? I think if you were to ask David that, what do you mean here? God redeems his people. How is there no condemnation? I don't know that David would have had a particularly good answer for that. He understands that God is the one who delivers. But I don't think he possibly could know how God would accomplish that. Well, that's what we see here as we come to Romans. The Apostle Paul just lays it out for us. God has done what the law couldn't do. He sent his Son. He condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law so that we would not be condemned. And even more than just not being condemned, we have a hope, something to look forward to that is glorious. Verse 11 again, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He's pointing forward to our hope, to glorification. Such a wonderful thing. We referred to much of that in our morning's service. David could not have fully understood it, but he enjoyed it. And he pointed to it in his writing. Now this evening, I want us to focus on one particular verse, probably the best known, the first one we read here today. And then I want us to focus on one particular word in that verse. And it is not the word condemnation. It's a much shorter word than that. I want us to focus on that word now. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful word? The immediacy of that word. John Piper says, the now of Romans 8 verse 1 is one of the greatest words in the Bible. I'm preaching on it. I don't know if I'd go that far, but he went that far. Greatest words in the Bible. It means that right here, in the midst of your mess, your imperfections, and your daily battles with indwelling sin, you stand totally accepted and completely free from judgment. That's really what I want us to focus on this evening, the now. And I really want us to think about two things. One, how should we feel? And then what shall we do? So those two, how shall we feel and what shall we do? We're looking at the how should we feel first. And I want you to just flip over the page, if it's a page, I don't know. I want you to look over at Romans 7 for just a moment. Really the tail end of the chapter. If you look there, you'll probably recognize that passage. I think it's one that is striking to us. Paul is calling out about his own sin. Verse 15, for I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. There in Romans 7, I think we see one of the most, convoluted and also relatable passages in Paul's writing. There's been a lot of debate, really, about whether this is Paul, pre-conversion or post-conversion. If you're interested, you can go and kind of look up the different perspectives there. I think there are significant reasons to think Paul is writing here as a Christian, post-conversion. And we have a picture of a Christian still struggling with sin. Being able to say, I'm doing what I don't want to do? Well, of course, when I sin, at some level, I do want to do it, but I don't want to do it. I think you can hear his frustration. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Can you identify with that sense, that frustration with indwelling sin? Well, the one who struggles also reminds himself in the next verse that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Friends, if you are someone who is in Christ Jesus, just luxuriate in that reassurance. There is no condemnation for you. Perhaps you have particular sins, you know, that come back to mind time after time, you know, maybe sins of your past. You have some sense of you know, shame over those things. You recognize, I cannot, you know, make up for the things that I've done. And I don't just mean, you know, before God. Of course, I could never do that. But there are people that I hurt. There are people I was unkind to. My actions in the past have really hurt others or perhaps sent them down a bad path. You're not thinking that you're not a Christian, but those things still plague your mind. Perhaps you have a sense of your own sin that has grown over time. Maybe early in your Christian life, you know, you had a sense that you were doing better and better. You were really improving. And then as you got a deeper understanding of sin, a more profound understanding of your own heart, sometimes it can feel like things are getting worse instead of better. Maybe it's not so much things that you did that come back to mind, but lost opportunities. Things that you should have done that you didn't do. I have one that comes back to mind repeatedly for me. There was a guy in the cafeteria at school, one of the workers. I worked in the cafeteria. His name was Toronto. Kind of an odd name, but there it was. At that point in my life, I'd been starting to think more about evangelism. You know, I really should tell this guy the gospel. We were becoming more friendly, and I kind of viewed it as the, you know, we're building a relationship. I didn't really say anything, but, you know, we're getting to know each other. That's my goal. And I remember saying hi to him and then pretending that I knew the, you know, cool handshake that he did. And I remember thinking, you know, I should tell him the gospel. And then I thought, okay, well, you know, I'm working on it. We'll get there. And I came into the cafeteria the next day, and someone, one of the other workers said, hey, did you know Toronto got shot and killed in Baltimore yesterday? Now, I know his salvation isn't resting on me. I'm not the only one, you know, who could have spoken to him. I don't know. Maybe perhaps someone else did, but I'm not getting another opportunity at that one. Maybe you can look back on mistakes you made. Maybe mistakes with your kids, perhaps. Maybe you'd look at that and say, I wish I would have done something differently there. Maybe if I'd done something differently, things would have gone better. Maybe you struggle with temptations. Now, I don't necessarily mean falling into temptations. Maybe it's really just the struggle you have, that the guilt that you feel that you have those temptations. Why do they keep coming back over and over. Maybe it's struggling with the criticism of others. You know, often people's criticism is unjust and unkind. Sometimes they're right, or at least partially right. And their words can add to our sense of condemnation. Friends, if you're inclined to kind of feel any of those struggles, those senses of guilt or shame, look at these verses. There is now. Not there will be someday. There is now no condemnation if you've put your trust in Jesus. None. At all. God looks at you and sees the righteousness of Christ. You are righteous in God's sight. Hebrews 10, verse 19. It's a familiar passage. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We're being called to have a clear conscience. Not because of the wonderful things we've done, because of what Christ has done for us. Called to draw near to God. Well, how should we respond? That's really our second point. What shall we do? If we're able to say there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, well, what should we do in light of that? Some people, even in Paul's day, thought if you say, you know, there's no condemnation, that would mean that people would just sin more, right? It's not dependent on you keeping the law, then you're just not going to. You got to get out of jail free card, and now you can just sin with impunity. Clearly, there's nothing like that, as Paul describes our life in Christ. We're free from the law of sin and death. The righteous requirements of the law already fulfilled in us. So what should we do? We're not going to read all of this again, but if you look back at verses 5 to 11, Paul doesn't immediately step in and say, all right, now that you have no condemnation in Christ, here is the list of rules that I want you to keep. Now, to be clear, Paul does not have a problem with rules, right? We're going to get to a bunch of imperatives. Actually, we're not going to get to it, but Paul gets to a bunch of imperatives, you know, later in the book of Romans. Excuse me. He doesn't have a problem with commands. But in this passage, the focus is not, okay, you're cleansed from sin, now do these things. Instead, the focus is you're cleansed from sin, now live in the Spirit of God. I'm not really going to be able to get into everything that Paul means by that idea of living in the Spirit. But he seems to be talking there of having a mind that is set on God, that dwells on spiritual realities, a person who is motivated by spiritual things, who loves spiritual truth, who calls out to the Spirit for guidance. that's what Paul is calling us to. Now, in some ways, that could sound kind of frustrating. You might say, okay, I want to get to the end, and then, you know, I want a real application. Do this. And if the application is, well, live in the Spirit, sometimes that can be hard for us to really hold on to. But if you're a little frustrated by that, well, then I definitely encourage you to go back and read verses 5 to 11. Because that is what Paul is holding out to us. He's calling us, live this way. You have the Spirit. If you've put your trust in Christ, now live according to that Spirit. May that be our prayer to God this week. And we thank Him for transforming our hearts through the work of Christ. And may we call Him to continue to act through us, to move through us, work through His Spirit in our hearts. Guide me, direct me, Lord, as I follow after You. For the encouragement this evening, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are free from condemnation. We are free to live for God, empowered by His Spirit. May we do that, calling on the Spirit of the Lord this week. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for the kindness that You have shown us. And we pray that You would help us to lay hold of that kindness, not to have hearts that cling to our own sense of guilt. Help us to take the encouragement that there is no condemnation for us if we are in Christ Jesus. And then would You help us to move forward, not all of a sudden relying again on our own wisdom and determination, but relying on the Spirit of God at work within. We thank You, Lord, for the blessings You've given us in Christ. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.